Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. We are going live. We're going live, and I believe we have launched. We are live. Hello, hello, everybody out there in the social media world. Welcome to the Cannabis Connect Show. What up, what up, what up, though? I am Earl. And again, this is the Cannabis Connect Show. And pretty much it's a program for budding, no pun intended, entrepreneurs to learn, share resources, and actually make connections. If you are out there, this is fully engagement. If you are out there, let me know who you are and where you are watching this at. Please, this is a fully engagement. You'll be able to ask us questions. Also, share who you are. If you're in it, if you're in the industry, or if you're looking to get into the industry, share who you are. And also what you're looking to do. If you're looking for a grower, you're looking for a painter, you're looking for an accountant, looking for a tax person, this is a time for us to make connections in this socially not so distant world by us connecting through social networks. What up, everybody? Hey, hello, hello, hello. I say, hey, Earl, if you are on Facebook or you YouTube, or if you are actually on any media, you may have to give access to StreamYard so I can see your name. Otherwise, it just says Facebook user like that. But I still see the what up those and hellos, hello, hello, hellos. Yes, let me know where you're watching it from. I appreciate everybody getting on. We have a big show today. Again, we're gonna be talking about how to draft a successful SOP in the cannabis industry. Yes, I did not try to rhyme that, but I just did it. Who knows, I'm a naturally talented light-skinned rapper. Boom! All right, so without any further ado here, yes, Ms. G, she's talking about how she's looking to get into the industry. Thank you. Yes, everybody can please network, please engage. We're going to have time for questions and answers. And again, this is the Cannabis Connect Show for entrepreneurs looking to get into the industry or who are in the industry. We can share resources, make connections. Let's actually make some things actually happen. How about the club? The Craft Cannabis Club is it's for mature cannabis adults. The Craft Cannabis Club is a place online, offline for you to be you, to share resources, make connections, and to network. Because I believe it takes a ecosystem of like-minded people to end the character stain and the stigma done by this whack-ass war on weed, aka even war on drugs. So this is us right now. This is us actually doing what our mission and what our statement is having this event right here. So without further ado, we have a nice show. We have a special guest today. I'm going to introduce the guest. I'm going to read his bio right here. Then I'm going to bring him on, and he's going to be teaching us about how to draft successful SOPs. Please, again, you can engage, ask questions. If it's relevant while we're talking, we may bring it up. If not, he has a lot of knowledge. He can go deep into this. We may save some questions towards the end, depending on how deep he's actually going to go into it. But we got Jason from Greenworks Consult. I'm going to read his bio right here. Jason started Greenworks because he is passionate about the cannabis industry. That's in all caps, by the way. And his background is in the business process management and quality improvement. As the cannabis industry becomes more normalized, the ability to scale at speed will be limited by the ease of workflow, setup, monitoring, and management of defects. I'm going to say that again, because that's an amen. The ability to scale at speed will be limited by the ease of workflow, setup, monitoring, and management of defects. That's very true. They are pleased at day, as in Greenworks Consults, are pleased to offer business process management and standardization services, standard operating procedure development, matrix development, Lean Six Sigma services to all sectors of the hemp and cannabis markets. They are also available to help any business, manufacturing, and service process problems. It starts with a no cause, no risk consultation. All right, without any further ado, I am going to add here. Boom! Jason, are you there?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me today.
Thank you. I'm excited. Hopefully you heard me read that bio. I wasn't sure if you
could. I did. You did a great job. Great work.
That's impressive, man. I mean, we have a lot to jump into. I'm sure we can get to know you personally a little bit more towards the end. But you mind if we just kind of jump into the whole presentation here?
Sure. Do you want me to share or are you going to do that?
I am going to be your slide man. I'm going to kind of pop this up on the screen here. Boom. And kind of the first thing is, what is kind of SOP stand for and kind of what are they?
Sure. So a standard operating procedure or an SOP is really exactly how it's lined up here on the screen. It's really that outline of daily tasks, schedules, that you have to get done in order for your business to operate. It's really the blueprint of your business. If you think about it, you're really writing down everything that you do for every function within your business so that you have continuity, you have easier onboarding, you have better quality control, because the way you do things on a daily basis becomes consistent, repeatable, measurable. So those are the reasons you want to have a standard operating procedure within your business, regardless if it's cultivation, if it's dispensing cannabis, if it's an infusion kitchen, if it's an extraction facility. For every function within one of those businesses, you want to have a standard operating procedure. So anyone who's working in that department can always reference back to it. If you are training new hires, you can use that operating procedure to train people so they learn the way that you do business. They learn the way that you want to do business. They learn about the culture of your company through the way you operate. So that is what a standard operating procedure is. That is what it does.
Thank you. And you kind of touched on it too, is, you know, it's, I know we think about cannabis and then we think about business as if it's two separate things, but it kind of, you know, how does SOPs kind of translate to the cannabis business?
Exactly. You know, when you think about cannabis, you know, beyond the experience of a recreational user or a patient like me, cannabis is essentially a consumer packaged good. So whether you're selling flower, whether you're selling concentrate or an edible or a beverage, it's a consumer packaged good. You've got to protect it. You've got to protect your product against contaminants. You've got to protect it against pesticides, herbicides, you know, anything that could get into that particular product that could cause harm to another person. You need to have procedures in place to prevent that. So if we talk about building a business with SOPs, standard operating procedures, that prescribed method. So you really want to outline the steps of what it is you do for a given function. For instance, in the case of an extraction lab, for instance, if you are doing BHO or PHO concentrates, you want to have a step-by-step procedure on how do you prep your cylinders? How long do you put them in the freezer for? How long do you run it through the extract machine? What are the settings, the default settings that you use for a BHO extraction versus a PHO extraction? How long does it go? You know, oven times are pretty consistent when you think about BHO and PHO extraction, but you still want a procedure for, you know, how do we handle that material hot when it comes out of the extract machine? How do we get it ready to go to the next stage of production where they're going to the oven room to purge out the solvents? You literally want to write down what those steps are and map it out between, you know, where does that biomass come into my operation to where does that biomass go from the point it comes into the operation to the point it goes to the extract room to get put into cylinders and getting it ready for extraction, or if you're going to go through a ethanol solvent machine, you know, getting that biomass ready to go through that solvent procedure. So, you know, I think you can quickly see, I can go really deep here in terms of the number of procedures that you have to create in order to really document your business.
Now, if we take a quick step back from a bird's eye view, and if you're kind of thinking of what is the right type of SOP for my cannabis, you kind of broke up to where you went into a processing kind of center SOP. And then I guess it really depends on kind of what kind of cannabis business it is.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So like, for instance, if you're just a dispensary, you know, your dispensary, you're going to have a number of procedures for a dispensary that deal with back of house operations. So your order fulfillment, your inventory, cash handling, vendor invoicing, you're going to have all those kinds of procedures that are back of house for like order fulfillment and tracking orders as they come in either through phone or online. And then you're going to have your front of house operations. So that's going to be your receptionist checking people in. It's going to be your security operations. Sometimes those are the same people. It really just depends. It depends on what your business model is. It depends on the type of dispensary that you're setting up. It depends on the type of branding that you're putting into your dispensary. So if you're not only trying to cultivate a cannabis business, but an experience that is reflective of your brand, then you want your SOP to incorporate that culture of your brand along with the work instruction, because then it goes back to what I was talking about earlier with using your SOPs to make your onboarding experience for your staff easier. It helps line out expectations a lot better when it comes to the different roles that they're going to play within your operations. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, you know, it really depends on the type of cannabis business that you're going to operate to come up with the type of SOPs. And in many states, your cannabis business is vertically integrated. So your license depends on you operating both a dispensary, a grow, and in either an extract or an infusion kitchen. So if you're going to be a vertically integrated operator, right, you're going to need SOPs for every one of those divisions.
Now, to touch on just the cultivation side, and maybe we can dig a little deeper into that, from just kind of,
I mean, this is so cultivation. This is an area I'd really like to work with somebody on eventually. But you know, I'm not a botanist. I'm a business process expert. So I have no background in plant chemistry, biology, or you know, botany. So you know, where my role drives value here is working with the individual who has that knowledge and experience and saying, okay, you know, your job here as the master grower is to generate healthy plants that have a level of cannabinoid profiles that meet the standard for whatever that particular strain of marijuana is that you're growing.
Right.
So there's going to be specific things that you need to think about from a cultivation perspective that will make your harvests, you know, as best as it can be. So you're going to be thinking about things like humidity. You're going to be thinking about oxygen, heat, your nutrients, your irrigation, your water quality, your soil quality, and then how you train your people to handle the plants, to do the trim work, to do the nutrient work, to making sure that your biomass is handled appropriate to the regulations within your state, that all of your sanitation practices are there, your employees' personal hygiene is all there. It all has to be written down, and you know, it's you can do it, or you can hire somebody to do it. And it's a matter of what do you want to pay for? Either you're going to pay for it on your own time to do it, or you know, and you'll get to it when you get to it, or, you know, you can work with somebody like me or someone who has similar skill sets to mine to, you know, knock it out in maybe 90 days to, you know, maybe you've been trying to get it done for a year and you just don't have the skill set or the bandwidth. That's right. Fine. Find someone with skill sets like what I have. I'll work with you, come up with a bid and get done. I mean, that depending on the number of SOPs that need to be written, depending on the operation that you're working with, you know, you could do an extraction lab or a dispensary. You could do those kind of SOPs in 90 days. I mean, it really just depends on the number of functions that you have to document.
And it kind of seems like as you were going through those different, as far as like for the cultivation, as you were explaining different mm-hmm. SOPs, it was kind of like different categories. Like, sounds like, you know, well, here it's talking about compliance and regulations as far as testing. Like, what is the process of getting something, you know, you put all that hard work into it and now you got to get it tested, but you just can't say, oh, you know, just drive this over there and drop it off. There's like a whole process to that, right?
Right. And, you know, if you want to try to make sure that you're going to meet the requirements of your regulations, you want to do, you want to prepare for that. You want to do some sample testing so that you see where your gaps are and you know what adjustments you might need to make as a cultivator, right? So that, you know, you hit the right metrics for, you know, you're only allowed certain parts per million when it comes to things like heavy metals, pesticides, herbicides, that sort of thing. So, you know, you can either, I wouldn't wait until you're ready to harvest before you start testing. I would start testing during the cultivation cycle so that, you know, you're be able to consistently see how you're managing what's the fancy word I'm looking for, your mitigation strategy and your risk management.
That is a fancy word, by the way.
I know, right?
Yes. So, I mean, and that goes back to, that's a great point. So you start testing because you have day-to-day operations, you know, how you're feeding. You talked about humidity, how you're watering, the nutrients you're using, the environment, and you having these SOPs. So if you did have an issue when it comes to testing, you can kind of backtrack and kind of see, all right, it's not some one-off scenario. It's something within the whole process.
Exactly.
That's what's up. And then of course, when it does come to drying or harvesting, it doesn't just stop. When it comes to harvesting, it doesn't stop because now you got SOPs when it comes to curing, right?
Right.
I'm assuming you put all that hard work in and then you just mess it up it's like you've got the football, you're at the 5-yard line, and then you just drop the ball there.
Right, right. So, you know, when you think about curing, you're thinking about, you know, your heat, your humidity. You know, you don't want to overdry your plants, but you don't want to leave too much moisture in there. You know, so those are factors you have to consider when you build out your curing SOPs. And, you know, I would say curing and drying would be kind of one and the same procedure. And then packaging, I would consider like a separate arm. You know, it's almost like different departments. So like you've got your cultivation, you have your harvest, you have your curing and drying, you have your weighing and packaging. And then, you know, even when you talk about your cultivation, you know, you have, you know, what are your genetics? What are your seeds? When were you planting? What's your irrigation cycle? So,
right.
Yeah, those are all factors you have to consider when you're building out your SOPs, and you definitely want to break them out into specific roles, responsibilities, and categories. So again, we're talking about cultivation in this example, but you know, you can extrapolate this to every arm of your operation.
So when you're looking at other different arms of operation, you kind of think about, okay, how do I even think of the SOP, right? Kind of like what needs to even do it,
right?
Or how do I do it?
Yeah. And so, you know, the thing that you want to do first, and it's part of conducting that risk assessment that is mentioned here on the slide, is you want to kind of walk your facility in every department within it. So from biomass intake to extraction, to packaging, to order fulfillment, whether you're doing you're cultivation and processing, or you're doing extraction and processing, or you're doing your dispensary operations. You're going to have some form of flow that happens within each one of those segments of your business. So you want to walk through each one of them. Look for where do you have opportunities for your process to fail. So, you know, where do you have the opportunity for biomass to sit in the front, where instead of having it back in the extraction lab getting ready to start a production cycle. Look for how much movement you're having to do to take your widget or your product from one end of your production cycle to the other. So for instance, if you're doing cultivation, you know, you want to make sure that when you're harvesting, that your dry room or your curing room is very close by to minimize the movement from the harvesting to where you're taking it in to dry it out. And then from the point of where it's going from curing to the point that you're starting to trim it and weigh out the wholesale bags or the white label bags or your own product bags for you know, your eights, whatever prepackaged flour you're going to put together. You want to think about all of those segments within each of your operations. Where are the failure points? Where are the opportunities for delay? So that's your risk assessment. And then, you know, where are your opportunities to insert cross-contamination. So if your people are working on trim or working on curing, what protective gear are they wearing to keep, you know, hair and other contaminants from getting into the flower and getting into that whole ecosystem. So that's part of that HCCP analysis that you would do.
So you kind of got to think things, you're just pretty much thinking things through, but you're not looking at it when everything's all well. It's like, where can things go wrong too?
Exactly. Because if it goes wrong and you haven't thought about it, it's already too late. The damage is done. You're going to get, you know, you're probably going to get, you know, audited by your state regulator. Sometimes you get fined, you know, get fines for infractions. So it really just depends on the state. You may think about, I got to get this done to operate. And you may have a specific minimum set of standard operating procedures that the state requires to get your license. That's not necessarily going to be your daily operating procedure. That's going to be, I've got something to track seed to sale. Yeah, I've got something that says this is how we track our cash. Yeah, I've got something that says this is how we track patient information or customer information, and this is how we perform age verification. You know, those are kind of your boilerplate SOPs to get your license.
Right.
It doesn't really talk about how you flow work through your operation. So. Right. That's something you have to think about.
I mean, even if like you're a retail store and you know, you're thinking about your standard operating procedure to open the door, right? It's like, you can put it on paper, you know, look around, make sure it's two people, but there still may be, you know, more to it than just what standard it is to open the store from a security point of view, I'm assuming. Yeah,
I mean, you know, there are dispensaries that keep armed security full time, and they have to because of the way that 280E works with financials and banking. So you really do need to have those types of procedures for your license already done before you can open your doors. You know, you can operate without some of these other operating procedures I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying that if you want to have the best result and you want to get to profitability quicker, sometimes you got to go a little slower to go fast. And part of going slower is really thinking about your operations and how you want work to move efficiently through it so that you're minimizing your operations costs and maximizing You know, you're, even if you operate as a nonprofit, you have to be able to operate using good manufacturing practices, good business practices. You know, you shouldn't be paying more for things just because you're a cannabis business. Right. So, you know, those are things that you want to put in writing and build a culture around, you know, transparent operations, standard operating model. That is going to help you keep a very efficient business as well as do what you love in this space. I mean, you know, there are some folks who get into this industry just to make money. There are some people who are here to make money and provide an experience. So, you know, if you're operating as a recreational dispensary, you know, you may want to think about what is the experience I want to give someone who's coming through my door. Right. Am I going to give them an educational experience? So if I'm going to get a lot of people who don't have much experience with weed, what do I need to give them to be confident consumers? You know, so those are things that as a business operator, you should be thinking about and writing it down and putting it in a standard operating format. So
reminds me of like Five Guys and Fries when you walk in and, you know.
Yeah, this is the really unsexy part of cannabis. I mean, this is not fun work. It is. I've done it for, you know, 20 some odd years. So it's old hand for me. And I don't consider it sexy work either. It's sexy to me in the sense that I get to work in the cannabis industry. I get to give back to this industry that gives me a good quality of life in terms of wellness and pain management. So I don't mind that the work is unsexy because it supports a really fantastic industry. And you know, this is work that can it takes thought, it takes preparation, it takes organization, and it takes time to do it. And it's
one of the most important pieces of the puzzle, especially if you're trying. I mean, we talked about it in the beginning. If you're trying to scale. I mean, you talk about the book E-Myth, you know, just being able so things can operate, you know, on a consistent basis. And that's the key thing about having a consistent product. It's not cool. Okay, you got, you know, great product today. And then it's like you go to a barber, you got a nice haircut today. The next time your hair all jacked up. I mean, are you going to go back to that barber?
That's a great analogy.
You know,
yeah.
probably not, especially me. But,
well, you know. but you know, it's all good. I mean, back to SOPs. I mean, it's work that you got to do, whether you hire somebody to do it or you do it yourself. You know, the thing about SOPs is they're not meant to be storybooks. They're meant to be operating manuals. So they're not, you know, try to be very clear and concise in the language that you use. Remember that you could be writing to a broader audience. So, you know, you may have a background in microbiology, but that doesn't mean that your bartender will. So you need to make sure that you're using simple language, very clear, unambiguous language. It's basically the how-to. It may include some elements of why, because you're talking about including your organizational culture into a standard operating model. Right. So you may talk a little bit about why, but it's mainly to talk about how do you get from point A to point B that reflects the type of experience you want your customers to have. And so, you know, don't rush the content. Make sure that you're capturing the key steps. Make sure that you're spending time calibrating your information. So, you know, you could be the subject matter expert who's writing this SOP. So that means you know everything there is to know about your process. Fantastic. That's awesome. And you need more of those. Someone like me, I know how to write a standard operating procedure, but I don't know your process. So I'm going to come in and ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to get your work instructions as you've given them to me, but I'm going to come in and walk your process. I'm going to come in and walk each one of those steps and make sure that they're accurate. I'm going to include things like screenshots from your POS software or your accounting system that show where information goes. So this helps error-proof your process. It helps helps you have a very high quality interactive standard operating procedure. So that's what we talk about when we say, don't rush the content, do it right.
Right. And right now we're going to give six, kind of common mistakes that people make or even should, or you should do. We talked about
experience with this too.
Right. And we talked about, well, number one was, get to the point. And then number two is don't rush the content. And then now number three, here we go.
Right. So this is really interesting because it seems pretty straightforward, but you'd be surprised that there are a lot of folks out there that don't know what to measure. So, when you're setting up a standard operating procedure, usually there are performance metrics that get assigned to, how much work you're going to deliver in a given day. Mm-hmm. So if you think about, cultivation, when you're harvesting, when you're curing and trimming, and then packaging out, you're going to set up, how many orders a day are you getting? Are you meeting all of those orders per day? Does your production capacity meet your order demand? You need to think about that, whether your business is cultivation, extraction, infusion, or dispensing. So when you're thinking about your SOP, you need to be thinking about, what am I going to measure here that tells me how this process is performing? So, those are ideas that, the ideas I brought up earlier about cultivation, curing, and packaging, are really basic. How many orders am I getting? How many staff do I have? How much can they produce in a day? Do I have enough staff to meet my order demand? You need to be able to measure all of that. And then that will tell you if you need to hire, if you need to bring in some additional equipment, if you need to expand your operations. You got to know your numbers. Every finance CFO person I've ever spoken to, that is the biggest thing they tell me when they say they're working with different CEOs in the cannabis industry. Know your numbers. Right. And if you don't know them, ask for help, because there are a lot of accounting companies or even consultants like me that we're here to help. We're not here to take money, like the cannabis industry is a golden cow, because it's not. It's an industry that labors under some heavy duty regulation, so the cost of operation is really high for cannabis companies. So don't leave out responsibilities when you talk about your SOPs. When you think about your SOP, what's the scope of it? What roles are impacted by it? Who does it apply to? Especially if you have management and frontline staff interacting in the process, you want to have clear lines of responsibility outlined within your SOP.
That's a good point. Good point. The number five, we got, don't address compliance or do address compliance and security.
This is really important. As you guys know, cannabis is predominantly a cash business, with some payment processing options available at a cost, of course. And so in working with that much cash, you have inherent risk. And part of your risk mitigation strategy is your security management and cash management. In some dispensaries, your security person is going to be the same person who opens the door for your customers or picks up the phone and takes those inquiry calls. It just depends on the size of your company and the size of your operation. But you want to make sure that you address your compliance and security policy as it's relevant to your business. So, in some cases, that's going to be governed by your state administrative code. Michigan could have one set of rules that you need to be cognizant of for security. Arizona may have different rules. So if you're a multi-state operator, you got to operate within the parameters of each state. And so you got to know what those rules are. You got to build it into your standard operating procedure.
Good point. Good point. And then, you kind of touched on it already, is just don't overlook cash.
Yeah. You got to have really strict policy. I'm not going to go into too many details around cash management, because I think everybody kind of knows this is important. And, but have a strategy. you know, have it somewhere that you know what it is. The people that need to know how to handle cash know what it is. And you keep that secret close to the vest. This is how you handle your money. And you want to make sure that you have documented procedures, but that you also have security restrictions in place so that you're keeping that information close to the vest. You want to keep a cash log so you know what money is coming in, what money is going out, what transfers are happening, what payments are going out to vendors. That's pretty standard for any business is a cash log. You want to have clear handling procedures for your management staff. So, at the end of the day, in the case of cultivation, for instance, when you are sending out your wholesale and getting it delivered out to your clients, what is your process for handling the cash that comes back? Does it go to an offsite place? Does it go to, a specific individual? You want to know what those steps are. You want to have them documented somewhere, and you want to keep them very, very tightly secured in terms of what those steps are.
That's what's up. And then, we're kind of finally going to be kind of wrapping up soon, but as we wrap up, what are some tips to someone who, all right, I did some risk assessments. I've thought some things through. I got some SOPs. What are, a couple of tips as far as improving your existing SOPs?
Sure. So, you really want to write this like a procedure manual. So, try to avoid a real narrative type of writing style. You want to have document control. So, make sure that you have a clear SOP title. You want to talk about what that SOP's purpose is and why it's there, what's in scope, what's not in scope, and what the actual steps are. You want to include screen captures of your POS system or your accounting system or any other software that your staff have to interact with in order to document information about your process. So whether it's documenting your statistics for your cultivation site or your sales or your order fulfillment cycle time or your delivery fulfillment cycle time, you want to have that clearly defined. You want to have the steps very, very simple, very easy to understand. And definitely make sure you're looking at your SOPs at least once a year. Most states require at least an annual review of your SOPs. So make sure that you're spending that time. Because things are going to change in your business. You could change POS software. You could acquire another company. You're always going to be updating those SOPs. They're the blueprint of your business. They're the infrastructure of your business strategy.
That's what's up, Navi. Thank you. And again, if you guys are here watching it and watching this live at the moment, you can ask us any questions you like. Ask Jason any kind of question while you have him here about the standard operating procedures, or maybe you just have a business general question. Or if you're listening and you guys want to make connections with each other, if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube right now, just kind of throw out there, who you are, what you're looking to do as far as getting to the industry. Or if you're are in the industry and you need to network, you guys can please use this moment with Cannabis Connect to actually network. And Jason, no, this is a mouthful. Like you said, it's not the most sexiest topic here, but it's one of the most important business decisions to make is putting together your SOPs.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, this is not easy stuff to talk through. It's usually when I work on a project doing a standard operating procedure, at the beginning of the project, I get a lot of time with, usually a CEO or an executive director to make sure I've got the clear scope of work that we need to get accomplished. And usually from there, they let me go because they know that, that there's going to be a lot of writing. There's going to be a lot of documentation. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. I'm going to be taking a lot of time with some of their frontline people to really understand how they do things. It's a commitment. So, it's really, like you said, it's really important. It's really the foundation of what your business is going to become.
Awesome. Got a couple questions out there. Hey, Ms. G, I know you're out there listening from or watching from Southwest Detroit. Love it. So when I was saying, hey, what's good, Earl? What's good? All I can see is Facebook user. Sorry about that. We got somebody else who's looking to get into the industry and want to start a successful pre-roll business. That's what's up. Need some premium pre-rolls out there, not none of that swag that people throw in there. Here's a question for you, Jason, from Stephanie. Stephanie Washington. She says, I am new and would like to start selling cannabis tea. Is there an application to fill out? And if so, what particular SOP model should I have? I would say you could talk to the SOP model. I will let her know that in the state of Michigan, yes, there is a license to obtain for medical or recreational tea. If it's recreational or medical, it's still a processing license, and that allows you to sell cannabis products, whether it's tea, pre-rolls, edibles, gummies, candies. All that needs a process license, but Jason can touch more towards some kind of SOP model for that type of business. Jason.
Sure. Yeah. So listen, SOP models, you can go out and Google SOP or standard operating procedure and get all kinds of different format ideas, but essentially they're all going to have kind of a similar type of information. So you want to have something that has a process title. What is that policy overview? So what is the reason for being for this standard operating procedure? Talks a little bit about, what is your company? What does it do? And then from there, you're going to talk about the process purpose. So the purpose of your company is to do X, and this process or procedure is going to outline the steps for completing this particular product creation. And then the other segment you're going to want is the actual process scope. So what's in, what's out, what's included, what ingredients, if you're talking about a cannabis tea, what type of distillate are you going to use, or what type of infusion process are you going to use? The other components that you're going to want are going to be like, not only are you going to want process steps to talk about the actual operations that you perform to create this tea, but you're also going to want to think about what are the key ingredients that you use? How do you process those ingredients? If you are doing any kind of cooking with those ingredients to infuse it, what temperatures do you infuse at? What type of oils do you use for the infusion process? How do you cure your tea and package it? You want to document all of those steps. And so, as long as you have those key sections within your SOP, you can pretty much use any format that you want to use. But that is a very common type of format for an SOP. And what I just gave you would be very typical pieces of information you'd want to include.
Awesome. And she says, thank you, Jason. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Awesome. If you guys had any more questions, we're going to wrap up probably in the next 3 to 5 minutes. We are almost at the 45-minute mark here. Again, we got Jason from Green Works Consults. His information is about to be right here on the screen. Boom, right there. Get in touch at greenworksconsults@comcast.net. That is his email. Do you have a website there, Jason?
Yes, I do. It's under construction right now, so... But you can still get to it. So it's www.greenworksconsults.com. So it's just the same name as my business. Like I said, you can get hold of me by email. My cell phone number is 520-419-0399. So if you want to call me, you can. I never charge for an initial conversation. If there's a specific project or project idea you want to talk about, I'm always open to that. And, you know, if it's something I can help you with, great. If it's something that you may need some additional help with that I can't do, I may know somebody, and I'm happy to share that information with you. So
that's awesome, man.
I'm here to help. I'm not here to really take advantage of anyone. So,
and that's definitely needed. I mean, as soon as you hear the word, you know, whether it's a pair of scissors, you know, you put cannabis next to it, that 50 cent pair of scissors now all of a sudden $10. It's like, oh, what?
Government accounting. So I try to charge a fair rate for my work. And, you know, I'll work out different, you know, I tend to be really flexible when it comes to putting a project together. So, you know, I can work with pretty much any budget. I can work with companies at different stage of development. It really, really just depends on what you need and whether or not I can do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Appreciate that. And again, of course, you guys can stay in touch with G3 Cannabis Therapy Network. Again, we try to teach everything from a therapeutic point of view. A lot of cannabis resources at cannabistherapynetwork.org right there. And of course, right here, this is an event brought to you by the Craft Cannabis Club. Craftcannabisclub.org is a private club. It's not always open enrollment. Right now, there's a wait list, but you can go to craftcannabisclub.org to actually join the wait list and join a community of like-minded people. Again, we're trying to get an ecosystem of like-minded people to make some moves, some real moves that's going to really remove this character stain and help us all make progress and move forward in this industry and claim our own piece of the pie. And right now, this is also the Cannabis Therapy Podcast that you're listening to. You can check us out on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, and all that jazz. Thank you. And we got a couple more comments, Jason. We got some great information from Ms. G. Thank you, Ms. G, for letting us this great information. And also, Steph, thank you. Also appreciate the community benefits of the community affairs for new business. Come into a new neighborhood that needs more community engagement. Yes, it's all about the community. Couple questions. Jadis, you may not be able to answer this one, but this question was from Linda, and she asked, any laws on selling clones? That's more state of Michigan scenario right now. Yeah, that's more. Well, I will let you guys know from a legal standpoint in Michigan, really only licensed dispos could actually sell clones. Now, seeds is another story. You can purchase some of those seeds online, more as souvenirs, not necessarily as something you're going to grow. And then also, if you're a caregiver, of course, as a caregiver here in Michigan, you can, you know, trade and give away plants to your 5 patients. Other than that, you may have to look. Oh, and also clones, as far as legally, if it has roots, it's still counted towards your plant count. So as an adult, if you're 21 and older and you have more than 12 clones, then you're outside your plant count, because you can have 12 plants here in the state of Michigan legally if you're 21 and up. How about you over there, Jay? Are you where are you from? I didn't ask.
So I'm out of Tucson, Arizona. So been here about 10 years. And like I said, I have 20 years in managed care and really just kind of started my own business about a year and a half ago to support this industry.
Awesome. Awesome. Welcome from Arizona. It's probably warm over there. It's getting cold here in Michigan. Another question is it better? And if you feel comfortable, you can answer this. Is it better to be an LLC in the bud business or a corporation?
I would say, and you'll probably hear me say this a lot, it depends. I would first of all refer you to your accountant to give you that advice. But in my experience with my accountant, LLCs tend to be a little more... it protects you as the business owner a little better, you know, from some of the, you know, if you do like an S corp or a sole proprietorship, you may have more personal liability issues to worry about as a business owner. So you might want to consider other business models like an LLC. But I would definitely defer you to talking to your accountant. They would give you the best advice.
Awesome. And then last question here. One of the last, is it better to buy or lease a property starting up? Ooh.
I mean, you know, I can't speak for Michigan. I can speak a little bit about Arizona. I know enough to be dangerous. you know, you're going to have your licensing fee, obviously, for whatever business you're going to operate. But at least in Arizona, it's not just the licensing fee that's part of the investment. It's the property. It's having the equipment, having the staff ready to go. It's a lot of upfront investment that you're not guaranteed unless you get your license. So I would say you kind of have to weigh those factors against what your budget constraints are, what your funding constraints are, to help you decide if buying a property is better than leasing. I mean, I would say that if you have the money to buy property, you know, that's something you can hold on to without having to make a payment every month.
Right.
Yeah, great. But, you know, I think it just depends on what your funding strategy is for your business.
Awesome. And then this is the last question, Jay. I may have to touch on this. This is more towards Michigan. Can you have a caregiver and still grow 12 plants? I'm going to take from Jason's book, it depends. So technically, if you gave your caregiver the rights to your 12 plants, they're growing your medical plants. But it's kind of a gray area. Can he grow your medical plants while you grow your own 12 adult plants? If it's in two different locations, you have an argument. But ideally, if you just take control back of your 12 plants, you will be able to grow your 12 medical plants. If you're not under the medical, it's 12 per household, by the way, too. So it's not 12, you know, for you and your cousin or your husband or wife. It's 12 per household. So you may have 12 in your household, and that could be your recreational, and then your caregiver could have his 12 at a different location. He may be able to work that as well. But again, it does depend on even some court case laws coming down here. And I'm sure you don't want to be one of the first ones to try to figure that out. So, but I would say, well, this is not legal advice here. Please consult with an attorney. Jason and I's advice is taken with a grain of salt. Boom. Jason, I want to thank you for your time. This is great information. This was awesome, man.
Yeah, I this has been a great conversation. You know, I've learned a lot from you and just talking with your following here. And I'm looking forward to talking to other folks in Michigan. You know, I can really go anywhere. So I do a lot of remote work. So, you know, hopefully I'll get to work with some of you guys if they're in Michigan soon.
Awesome. Awesome. And if you're ever in the Detroit area, we're walking you to Detroit with a nice fat blunt. We got your back, man. All right, Jason, thank you very much. And if you guys are listening to Lies, thank you for listening. Please share, subscribe, do all that stuff that people actually do on social media just because you love us and we love you too. Thank you. And thank you, Jason. All right, fam.
You bet. Right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, cannabistherapynetwork.org. cannabistherapynetwork.org.